is going on? It is Adam. Welcome back to Bringing It Backwards, a podcast where both legendary and rising artists tell their own personal stories of how they achieve stardom. On this episode, we had a chance to hang out with Joel of the band Lab over Zoom video. Joel was born and raised, grew up in New Zealand, and he tells us how he got into music. Joel talks about meeting Brad and Stuart of the band Cora and how he was a huge fan of Cora and what it was like being asked by those guys to join this band as the vocalist, because he was always a fan of the vocals in Cora. So it was like, oh, wow, you want me to come sing for your project? Joel goes through the band's five albums prior to this brand new record, having multiple number one albums in New Zealand. And we dive pretty deep into the new Lab album, Lab 6. And Joel also talks a lot about the new elements they've added to their live show. And we talk about their tour as well. You can watch the interview with Joel and myself on our Facebook page and YouTube channel at Bringing It Backwards. It would be amazing if you subscribe to our channel. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Bringing Back Pod. And if you're listening to this on Spotify, Apple Music, Google Podcasts, it would be amazing if you follow us there as well and hook us up with a 5-star review.
We'd appreciate your support if you follow and subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
We're Bringing It Backwards with Lab. Hey, what's up, Joel? How are you, man?
Good, man. How's it going?
I'm fantastic. I appreciate you doing this. Thank you so much.
No worries, man. No worries. Whereabouts are you in the world?
Nashville, Tennessee.
Wicked, bro.
Yeah. You're in New Zealand?
Yeah, man.
Oh, yep. Man. It must be early there. What, like 9:30-ish?
Yeah. 9:30 in the morning.
Yeah. Sorry to make you get up this early.
Nah, you're right, bro. I've been for a run, so it's all good.
Oh, right on. My name's Adam, and I appreciate you doing this.
Yeah, sure, man.
Cool. Well, this podcast is about you and your journey in music, and we'll talk about the album you have coming out. What is it, next week? Next Friday? Or
next Friday. From then?
Yeah. Wild, yeah, man. Very, yeah, very cool. Fun. The sixth Thanks. One, right? The sixth album?
Yeah, sixth album that the band's recorded, and we've spent a couple of years recording this one, and it's been quite a fun process. We've definitely taking our time on this one. We usually record an album a year, but we decided that it's time to take a bit of a break and spend a bit more time on the road as well. We were quite busy touring last year as well, so it's just balancing the life of being on the road as well as being in the studio. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, that's wild. I mean, to put an album out every year and then have all of them go platinum thus far, or multiple times platinum. That's a pretty huge feat.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Yeah. Well, first off, what part are you born and raised in New Zealand, and what part?
Yeah, so I'm in the North Island, place called the Bay of Plenty, which is on the east coast of the North Island. Beautiful beach town, close to Auckland, which is the main city that people fly into. It's 2 hours south of Auckland, and it's a beautiful place to live. Born and bred here, and lived overseas a bit, but basically stayed here most of my life. Yeah,
nice. And what about as far as music goes? Do you come from a musical household, creative household at all?
Yeah, for sure. My dad started me off when I was a kid on the ukulele.
Oh, cool.
Playing the ukulele from. He got it from the rubbish dump, and he put some like fishing line string on it for me, and that was my first little my first instrument.
Really? So it was able to be tuned and everything with fishing line?
No, it was just I was just like just 2 years old playing this. Yeah, okay. Just learning how to strum. There's this classic video of me playing Old MacDonald, like strumming along in time, and I think that was the my dad was like, oh, the kid's got rhythm, so kind of took off from there, and he got my first proper guitar when I was like, four.
And then, oh my gosh. Still so young. I have a 7-year-old, and I can't think of like 3 years ago him picking up guitar.
Yeah. Yeah. So dad was a singer as well. So we did a lot of singing together too. So yeah, that's where it all came from.
Was he in a band or anything, or is it just hobby thing?
But he was a country musician, so he played a lot of he played rhythm guitar and backing vocals for a lot of different people, but never did it as like a professional career. Yeah.
So he must be stoked that he handed you the uke at two, the guitar at four, and now you're doing this,
Yeah, for
sold
sure.
so many records, and the success you have built with music is insane.
Yeah, for sure. I was unfortunately my dad, he passed away when I was in my early 20s, so he never got to
Oh man.
see this whole journey, which is a bit of a shame. But
Sorry, man, that's awful.
no, it's all good, and it's just a part of life. And he was definitely the guy that gave me the tools to get where I am, and super grateful for that, and super grateful to be able to make a living out of this thing, and I know he'd be super proud. So yeah.
100%. For you get a guitar, and do you keep playing guitar throughout, your teenage years and everything, or did you start a band? Like, what was kind of the were you in the school band? I mean, where'd you kind of head musically?
Yeah, it was all over the place. I guess when I was like 12, I started playing in bands and bars and pubs and stuff like that. But before that, I was doing a lot of busking on the street,
Oh wow. Were you writing your own
playing.
songs or just playing cover songs?
Nah, just playing covers. Yeah, just playing guitar tunes, and then started singing a bit more. And and then when I was in my teens, started my own band. Just doing all sorts of stuff. And then when I was 18, I went to jazz school and studied music up in Auckland.
Oh wow.
Studied jazz guitar for 3 years, which was really fun. And yeah, so I've always kind of been studying the instrument and voice as well on the side. And when the LAB thing came along, it was I was like 24 when Brad hit me up. I was in my mid-20s when that all happened. But before all LAB, I played in so many different bands and different projects and stuff like that, and definitely started to get into more creative projects the older I got. I started to get more curious about songwriting and being creative on the instrument, and it was just so nice to meet that the stars aligned with meeting Brad Cora, who's the drummer for LAB and producer. And me and him have had a creative kind of bond since we met. We started jamming together and writing songs together. It's been a beautiful journey over the last 7 or 8 years. So,
Yeah, 'cause you were in a
yeah.
band prior with a couple of the guys, right? That are in the band now.
No, so I wasn't
Oh.
in the band with the boys, but Brad and Stu, who are two brothers, were in a band together. And our bass player, Udder, he was in a band called Catch a Fire.
Okay. Yeah, I thought you played with Catch a Fire as well. I got confused.
No. So we've been to the it's like a big family, all these bands from New Zealand that are in that roots reggae kind of soul sound. That we're all a big family. And when we first started with LAB, we Catch a Fire took us under their wing in Australia, and we did our first kind of international tour. We
Wow.
played like 20 shows in Australia with them over a month, and it was baptism by fire for sure. It
Yeah,
was
yeah. Did you have a bunch of songs out, or like was it just, okay, we know these
no, it
guys
was
and let's just hit the road?
yeah because of this I guess Brad and Stu, because of their prior success with their band Cora that they had, we kind of had an in to the industry, and Catch a Fire could see the potential of what we were doing, and were super supportive. And we at the time we didn't have any we didn't even have a song out, we didn't even have an album. We were working on the first album, and that was back in 2016. So it was the band's kind of first proper tour, and it was an incredible experience. And thanks to Catch a Fire for that opportunity, it was really special. And now we play with Catch a Fire quite often on different lineups around the country, and they're doing great in the States as well. It's inspiring to see what Catch a Fire are doing in America, and hopefully we follow in the footsteps of that.
Well, yeah, I was born and raised in San Diego, and reggae is such a big genre there in
Yeah.
Southern California. I mean, Nashville now here. I mean, it's became a big genre all over the world. But I feel like when I was there in Southern California, we had so many reggae artists come through. It was
Yeah.
probably the biggest genre. I used to do terrestrial radio, and if you just started a radio station that was just Bob Marley, you'd be number one on the chart every single year, a month. It was crazy
Gotcha.
how much people loved it.
Cool, man. That's Yeah, we played in San Diego for the first time last year with Maoli. He's a Hawaiian reggae artist, and we were opening for him. Played at the House of Blues, and that was just magic, man. You could definitely tell that people enjoyed the music, and we're actually going back there again in May to play our own show, not at the House of Blues, but at another venue. And our management told us the other day that we've sold quite a few tickets for that show, and it's our own little headline show. So yeah,
Amazing, man.
it's a promising, with this whole American thing, it's exciting for the band to be, getting over to the States and making waves. So,
Yeah, was this your this will be your what for will it be your first headline tour of these states?
yeah, well, we're doing a mix of things, but we're doing some of our own headline shows mixed with some festivals and then opening for Jay Boog.
Oh yeah, I love
Yeah,
Jay
so
Boog. I've had him on.
doing a few shows with him as well. So it's a bit of a mix, but that's all in May.
Very cool, man. That's awesome. So tell me about putting out that first record. I mean, you had m success off the first album. I mean, Controller was a massive song, and the whole record goes platinum. And I mean, to see that kind of right away, was that pretty, I mean, talk about inspiring, I would imagine, to keep going on.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it was when I got the phone call to join the band, it was in its early stages of, finding its feet for sure. Brad was trying to find the right team to create a project and a band, and I was waiting for an opportunity like this to come up. And so I knew at the time, when I met Brad, that it was something special, because I was a fan of the band that he had been in previously, a massive fan of Cora, and so I knew the opportunity was the right opportunity to take. And yeah, as soon as that album came out and started to see it go off, it was surreal, man. I never forget, like, the first shows we were doing where the crowd was singing our songs back to us, and it was like, wow, that was a moment like, we made it. People like our songs, and it
Dude, for
was
sure. I
just.
mean, to come in as the front, but I mean, the vocals and everything too, that was that like a, I mean, you knew Cora was a successful band, you're a fan, and they're like, oh no, we want you to front the band. Was that a
Yeah, I mean,
pretty
it
cool
was nerve-wracking,
experience?
man. It was very, I knew it was a big, it was going to be a big challenge. I knew that from day one. It was like, this is all uncharted territory, and that I was ready for it, man. I'd still, to this day, there's things that I find hard about it, but it's something that's become, second nature, the more touring that we do and the more shows that we play. And I mean, we went from playing clubs for 400 people to playing, a sold out show, and like a couple of sold out shows in 2021, 22, which had like 20,000 people in the crowd, so
Oh my
it
God.
was like unbelievable, the trajectory of like the band and how quickly it kind of happened, over, some would say a short period of time, but it has been 8 years since, I first met Brad and we started, going down this track. And it has been a lot of grinding. We do, we when we're not on the road, we're in the studio. When we're not in the studio, we're on the road, and it's just getting busier and busier with touring now because of the world being back open and the opportunities coming left, right, and center. It's great to see.
Yeah, and like you said, I mean, you started on an instrument at 2 years old and four a guitar, and then you've studied the instrument your whole life. I mean, you've been grinding and working towards this, since you were a little kid. It's not like
That's right.
he asked you to be in this band and then you guys just get massive right away. I mean, even 8 years to build this is a long time, but I mean, sure, you have the songs though, right, in the fans, and to have every album platinum at least one time platinum is crazy. Did you feel like
Absolutely.
with the, sorry, go ahead. I didn't want to
Oh,
interrupt you.
no, go ahead. Yeah.
I was just going to say with the putting out Lab 2 or LAB 2, was that, were you guys worried at all? Like, oh, was this going to land the same way the first one did? Like, we had so much success with that first album. Do you got
Yeah.
like any nervous sophomore album feelings?
Yeah, for sure. And it was that album that was the experimental album, I feel, of LAB. When you look at the body of work over the last, six albums, it's the one that we were pushing boundaries and really trying to search for that sound of LAB, and then Yeah, we came out with a bang for sure, that first album, and a lot of people, you know, that's their favorite LAB album. And then In the Air comes out on the album three, which was the song that took the band to the next level and became the biggest, you know, the biggest song of that year. And still to this day, I think it's one of the, you know, in the New Zealand charts, it's been in there for like 180 weeks or 200 weeks or something. You know, it's just it's been in the
Crazy.
top 40. So that moment was like, okay, I feel like LAB's found this, you know, we've found our sound, and we're finding that kind of, you know, that signature flavor that people will fall in love with, you know. And the songwriting from kind of album three onwards has been really fun. Because, yeah, you're right, there was a lot of pressure on that second album because of the success of the first. And it's not that the second album wasn't successful. There was definitely some songs that went well on that album, but when I listen back to it, I can hear the band like going in certain directions and go, oh, let's try this style and let's try to see what we could do with this kind of, you know, this flavor. And but now I would say it's more refined and more focused on certain sounds, and we just we're adding in, like, the sixth album has got strings and horns and some beautiful kind of textures that are, you know, adding to our songwriting kind of stuff. So it's fun, man. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, to come back. Well, yeah, In the Air is massive, and then you even YOY was a huge song,
Yep.
and to have, you know, those moments, I'm sure that was like, wow. I mean, to have the song still charting, that's wild. Did you ever or did you, because I know the cool, a really cool thing that New Zealand does, when I had like Naked and Famous on, you can get like a grant for help with projects, right? In the arts. I know Canada does that as well. Have you guys ever taken advantage of that, or even early on, maybe with the first record?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. New Zealand On Air have been incredible for LAB. They've been super supportive. And the first, I think the first three, maybe four albums we had help, you know, with grants from New Zealand On Air to record those albums. So yeah, it's, you know, the New Zealand music scene's it's massive, but it's small at the same time. You know, we've got people doing incredible things overseas with the, you know, people like Lord and Crowded House from back in the day, and they're still going hard. And so we, you know, it's cool to see, you know, the country support the arts. I suppose it's definitely a tough gig, you know, in a country this big that, you know, there's only 5 million people. It's you know, you go to California and what, there's, you know, 26 million people or
Yeah, I
something.
was gonna
It's like,
say there's like 12 million in LA alone. It's crazy.
So you know, we do get good support, and I guess the hard thing for Kiwi bands is that overseas thing and getting, you know, getting that momentum overseas. You have to constantly be touring, or, you know, base yourselves in a place for a while. Some bands do that, go and live in a Sydney for a while, they go live in Berlin or LA, and really, really focus on, you know, working with different producers and stuff like that, and touring in those territories.
Yeah, I've had a, you know, like I said, a couple of artists from New Zealand on, but Canada as well are the two countries that I've heard that they do these really cool things with grants and giving artists, you know, opportunities to make money, or not to make money, but to fund projects like an album or music
Yes.
video or something like that. I,
Yeah.
you know, I think it's such a rad thing that they don't do here.
Yeah. Right.
So you said, okay, I mean, you guys put out an album every year up to 2022, right? Or yeah, and then this new album's coming out next week. Talk to me about, you know, the how when did you guys start this? I know COVID probably maybe rushed, or not rushed, but gave you a little more time to probably work on like the 2020, 2021 albums. I don't know, but then going into
Yes,
this album, it sounds like, you know, you guys took some time on it, or
yeah,
more
for sure.
time.
So,
Not that you didn't take time on the other ones. I know
no, for
that. You
sure.
know what I
That's
mean?
like, So, album four, and kind of part of album five were both kind of COVID albums, I suppose. Because we couldn't tour overseas, we definitely did a lot more studio work, and I think that's partly why we've managed to tune over so much material, put out so much content because of COVID, and just focusing on the studio stuff more than the live, because we couldn't get out and play live, you know. So, but this latest album, it was like, you know, we wanted to get that balance of touring and being in the studio, right? And it was, the opportunities were coming in with international tours and getting to Europe and the States and Hawaii and stuff like this. And it was like, these are what the opportunities we've been waiting for. You know, these are the moments that the band need to invest in and prioritize, I guess. And because we had the four albums, kind of four or five albums sitting there, you know, we thought, well, we'll take our time on the sixth one, and just when we feel we're in the place to be creative, then we will go into the studio. And it's just been nice to not have that pressure of like tuning another album out, and, you know, like really focusing on each track and giving it the time of day and not trying to get blood out of stone. Because I feel like it's not like we got to burnout, but we got to that place where it was like, I don't think I can be creative. I need to go fill my cup and be a bit more, you know, self-absorbed for a while and then come back with a fresh perspective to be creative. So, yeah, we definitely gave ourselves the time, and it's going to, I've got a good feeling about this next album because of that. I think we've really harnessed a cool energy, you know?
Yeah. You said, you know, the second album was more, you guys did a lot of experimenting on that album, yeah. But it sounds like with this new one, you guys are doing different things on it. You said you're talking about like strings and other elements and other, you know, textures and stuff that you haven't used prior to that. Yeah. Like talk to me about that a little bit.
Yeah. So we started using horns a lot in the live set. We, the first couple of albums didn't have any horns or strings on it, and I guess it was a money thing as well, you know, couldn't afford to have those things at that time, but I guess having that stuff's a little bit of a luxury to a point. So we decided to bring in a horn section for the live show, and then that kind of morphed into bringing the horns into the studio and into the songwriting process. You know, we'd be sitting there writing ideas as the five of us, the core five of us, and kind of going, well, I can hear a horn line there, you know, I can hear the strings kind of doing something. So we started bringing that in probably from album three, four onwards. And then, yeah, it's been fun writing. Louisa, who's our sax player, she plays flute, alto, tenor, baritone. She's a weapon. She's been working alongside us, an incredibly creative girl as well. She's just got cool ideas, and her and Brad being the producer, you know, he knows how to get the best out of everybody. And I think it's been cool collaborating, you know, with her, and she runs the horn section. She brings in the boys and bosses them around, trombone and the trumpet. And they're incredible live, you know, like it's such a cool element on the live show. You bring a horn section out and it just has that power. It's like, wow, you know?
Sure.
It's been really fun recording more horns on this album and introducing, you know, the flute and all sorts of stuff. So, yeah, the strings thing as well has been probably not as string heavy on this album. It's probably more in the horns and stuff, but the strings were a really fun thing to experiment with too, you know, with the ballads and, you know, the song Controller off the first album, it's got no strings on it, but you could hear the potential of the band writing in that kind of ballad style. And since then, we've done a lot of ballads where we use strings and stuff like that, which is super fun.
Yeah. You said this person came in and, you know, kind of bossing around the horn players, but when it came to writing the songs, was it she kind of improvised on what you guys had put together? It was like, oh, that'd be cool to do this here for the horns?
So it's kind of interesting because, like, we had songs that we'd recorded and been playing live for so long, and then we're like, hey, we should add some horns to this. So we gave her that kind of creative platform to do her own thing and put her twist on it. And then when it comes to writing in the studio, we probably have a bit more pull in regards to what we want from the horns and what we can hear. And it's kind of a balancing act. She'll throw a few ideas into the mix, and then Brad will be like, yeah, that's me, play that again. And it's kind of how it works in regards to the songs that have been around for 4 or 5 years, and adding the horns to them has just added a whole new life to those songs. And for us to play them live, you know, it just takes it to another level. So that's quite cool.
That is.
But yeah, in the studio, Brad basically produces and directs where the sound goes with each song, each idea.
Okay. And are you bringing the horn section on the road out here?
No, unfortunately not.
Okay. I was going to say that would be a pretty hefty, I'm sure, situation to not only get everybody here, but to tour around with.
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely hard work in regards to, you know, budgets and tour management. And so, yeah, it's like trying to figure it all out. It's a lot of money. So there will be a time, I'm sure, that we play in the States with the horn section, which would be such a buzz. I mean, we could technically hire some session players over there. There's nothing stopping us doing that either. So, I'd say maybe that's a goal for 2025.
That's awesome. Yeah. And then when, LAB7 comes out, we'll chat about it and talk about the horn section coming to the United States.
Yeah, bro.
I'm stoked to talk to you. Thank you so much again for doing this, Joel. I appreciate your time. I know, again, it's early there. I have one more question I want to ask. I want to know if you have any advice for aspiring artists.
Oh, for sure, man. I guess my advice would be to look after yourself as an artist. It's quite easy to, it's a tiring gig, you know, being a performer, being a creative. It's a lot of energy that you give out to people and give to your project and all that kind of stuff, right? So I think just being in check with yourself through that is super important for longevity in the industry as an artist. There's been times in my career that I've burnt out because I've tried to do too much as an artist. So yeah, my advice would be just to look after yourself. Try and treat it like an athlete would treat playing in a rugby team or playing, you know, at the highest level. For me as a singer, it's super important to be healthy, to be able to continuously tour back-to-back shows and stuff like that. I've got to look after myself. So it's something I'm constantly aware of and constantly working at. It's never, you know, I'm always refining things, you know. But that would be my advice, yeah. And then you'll last for a long time in the industry and you'll have a great career.